This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
Last week, a massive Twitter purge claimed the accounts of a ton of fake tweeters, and as a result, users saw a massive dip in followers, especially celebrities. And the cull is the latest in a series of moves by the social media tool to keep their app...
That's me crying. I'm getting tissues.
A fake account free zone. And prior to the crackdown, an official Twitter spokesperson revealed that accounts with bigger followings will be more likely to feel the loss.
Do you know, now I don't have enough to get through that little velvet rope. I know I do on Instagram, but not on Twitter.
They said most people will see a change of 4 followers or fewer. Others with larger follower accounts will experience a more significant drop. Now, to give you an idea, Katy Perry suffered the biggest loss.
Yeah, but have you seen it? They're still trying to send me half-price tickets for a show here in Melbourne. I mean, I don't think Katy Perry could sell a donut at a service station at the moment.
According to CNN, she lost roughly 2.8 billion followers overnight.
Isn't that many people? Oh, there is that many people in the world, isn't
Justin,
it?
Justin Bieber.
You don't mean million? Do you billion?
I think it means million. I think it's a typo. Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift lost about 2 million each, leaving them at 104 and 83.2 million respectively. Rihanna, Ellen DeGeneres and Lady Gaga also lost about 2 million followers. Kim Kardashian saw a dip of 1.7 million followers.
Oh, no, that wasn't a dip. That was just her butt sat here. Is that what you mean? I mean, gravity can only hold that thing up for so long. Eventually it's going to...
Barack Obama took a hit of 2.3 million and Donald Trump lost only 305,000.
But
how funny is that?
He only had 306,000 followers.
Oh, did he?
So, yeah,
is that all he had?
One. Yeah, so he only kept one, which was probably his weirdo ex-wife. Now, I love Ivanka.
Now, I want to know...
No, I'm angry.
Because a few weeks ago, we were talking about this wall in LA and you had to have over, was it 20,000 followers or whatever you
I
want to call them?
I had waited enough to get in there.
To get in, to get a photo taken at this wall. And mm-hmm. It was really a bit of a nasty wall.
No, it was lovely. I liked it.
And anyone under that amount couldn't go in. And Tom was boasting on air how he could go in.
Yeah. The thing that worried me is the only thing that kept me away from the unwashed was that little velvet rope. I need more than that. I need a wall.
So how many did you lose? Come on, reveal the number. How many did you lose after the Twitter
purge? I'm embarrassed to say. 2011.
Did you lose 2011?
I knew we had a lot of fake ones because there's some in there and you follow me. But it's all numbers. It's all a number game. So 2011 on Twitter.
2000, wow. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that you can no longer go to that special influencer wall?
I still have more than 20,000 on Instagram.
Okay.
It's so now just dropped below that on Twitter.
Okay.
That's really rude. So, I'd rather fake people. I'm thinking about, I'm going to go home. I'm going to spend the next 6 days making up fake Twitter accounts just to get these numbers back. I refuse to drop numbers.
Follow Tom. I mean, get his numbers back up.
I mean, people, I don't know. Like, it's really gross.
But doesn't that just show the whole, you know, the whole premise of the social media thing that it's, you know, we curate it so much. Look at you looking at me.
He's using words curate, and I'm thinking.
We present what we want others to see. We're not presenting our real selves.
Oh no, I do the real stuff.
Did you
see my Twitter account? I twirled like a woman in the middle of a country, and people are going, "Oh my god, are you really in that hat?" And twirling.
Actually, you do. I must admit. But you know, we put this stuff up that we want people to see. We don't put the bad stuff up.
I like the
and
bad.
Then the people who are seeing it are not even real. It's like this whole fake thing.
I love it. I only want to be followed by fake people. I only want real unrealistic people to look. Yeah. I don't want to be with the real people.
Do you judge, you know when you see, like you might see a man, I'm specifically saying a man,
mm-hmm.
Driving, you know, a expensive car or something and I don't know, you know how you say, oh look, they're just full of testosterone.
Oh, okay. If I saw a man driving a sports car, I just thought he had a little wee-wee.
Oh.
Look, I wouldn't have said that. Isn't that usually what it is? It's to compensate for their lack of other engine moving parts?
Because men with boosted testosterone levels are more likely to prefer status-enhancing luxury items, including pricey clothes, watches, cars, according to new research out of the US.
But the more testosterone you get, doesn't that make you a little... you know, bally things shrink. I was trying to think of a nice way to say it. Yeah. I said bally. Yeah, so that doesn't.
Bally things.
Yeah.
They were inspired by male animals which gain a testosterone boost during mating season. The University of Pennsylvania researchers wanted to see if there was a similar increase in humans, if a similar increase in humans would lead to men showing a stronger preference towards goods that promote their social rank. And they found that testosterone-dosed men picked items perceived to convey high status compared to those of similar quality but lower
like,
status.
Are you talking like an expensive watch?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
Yeah. So when we've got higher testosterone levels, we have a tendency to buy products that, make our status perceived to be higher.
So as a hairdresser, when you have high testosterone, it's usually the men that lose their hair. So they're usually the ones that go bald.
Right. Do they have nice watches?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now I've got to start looking. So high testosterone means you've got no hair. You've got a very small willy. You might have an expensive watch.
No, what did you call
watch.
It? What? No, you're small. You said something. What were they? Little
wee-wee?
So no, something else you said.
No, I was asking whether their bally's going to shrink.
Okay, that's right.
Isn't a high testosterone? If you're taking like, isn't it people like you know, you go to the gym.
Yeah,
well, those people that take testosterone.
I don't take testosterone.
No, I know you don't. You'd be more muscly than that. I'd expect more.
Yeah. The effect, they also found the effect increased when the item was accompanied by adverts promoting the products as status enhancers.
So that's crazy. Well, you shouldn't just buy anything for status. You should wear it because you like it.
So they concluded that testosterone elevates the desire in men to promote their social status through economic consumption.
So that's crazy. Just have an affair. I mean, I thought that's what high testosterone did. Just get out and have an affair. Stop buying expensive.
Just get out and have an affair. So that could be it. If maybe when our levels fluctuate. I know, I assume our levels fluctuate throughout the day.
Oh, do they, Princess?
Higher in the morning? So you shouldn't shop in the morning.
Has that got to do with testosterone?
Yeah, our testosterone levels are higher in the morning when we wake up, so we shouldn't go shopping because we are at risk.
Do you have to test yours? Do you get yours tested?
I've had it tested.
Oh,
before.
Really?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Is that because they weren't quite sure whether you were boy, girl, or they were trying to... you really can't test that stuff.
Tom, I just noticed as you put your hand up there, you've got this very nice-looking watch.
Yes.
Are you sure you're not... you didn't go shopping when you had high testosterone?
Look, the only time I've ever had high testosterone was... That's how I got my husband 18 years ago. After that, I've just let my testosterone fly.
Got a new drink for you, Tom.
Great. Is there Kahlua in my coffee?
No, it's a bourbon whiskey.
Oh.
It's made by a distillery in New Hampshire.
I'm not a bourbon drinker.
I'm not a bourbon drinker. I don't mind a whiskey.
It's a really
though.
Sweet one, isn't it, bourbon?
Yeah.
Remember that... Where's the Jim Beam? Ooh.
Well, this new bourbon is flavoured with the secretions from a beaver's rear end.
Oh.
Sound nice?
I thought the beaver was on the other side.
It's called Eau de Musk.
Eau de Musk.
And at first sight, it looks like any other whiskey, but it comes with a vengeance. And they say, and I quote, the sac excretion exhibits bright and fruit qualities, in brackets raspberry, and rich leathery notes along with creamy vanilla aroma.
Well, it sounds like a lifesaver. So we're going to have everyone going around trying to...
It does sound like
one of a beaver.
The creators claim their anal-flavoured drink is a rich, full-bodied two-year bourbon, which bolsters a vanillic nose and fruity floral finish.
Do you know what? It doesn't matter what they're going to put in this bourbon. It's still going to taste like crap anyway, isn't it?
Well,
it's
really
yucky.
I reckon too. But they're using this yellow-tinted secretion from the anal sac of the little beaver.
I went to a distillery. I went down with my friends and we learnt to make gin. And they had whiskey there.
Had
and
some
had
beavers.
Fire ants in it.
Fire ants?
Like fire ants from the desert or something like that. So what's this trend about shoving stuff in alcohol? The only thing you put in alcohol is ice and then you move on.
And that's it. So, but interesting, back to the beavers, they've apparently got this pair of anal glands located, you know, on their bum that they use to mark territory. And see, now, I thought about it because like, I take my dog, a poodle, and he has that too.
What, anal glands?
Yeah, and they have to be squeezed because you know, they get irritable.
I pay a lady to do that. I'm not going nowhere near that
actually,
end of the dog.
The vet actually taught me how to do it. It's quite easy to do. But
the vet said that to me once. Would you like to do it? And I go, well, how much if I bring it to you? She goes, $15. I go, no worries, sweetheart. I'm coming
I'm
back.
Bringing it to you.
There's no way I'm putting my finger near that.
It's quite easy to do. But, you know, let's be honest, and apologies to people who are eating breakfast out there, the smell is absolutely horrible when it happens. And if you ever take your dog to the vet to get it done, you just go, oh, it's just one of the worst things whatsoever. But I can't believe they're actually making a whiskey out of that smell.
Yeah, but don't forget it's from a beaver. I want to know who's
the beavers. What are they? smell better.
See, I'm looking for a new job. Maybe I've milked a cow. Maybe I can milk a beaver. Yeah, I've got little fingers. I can get right up in there.
No, you have to squeeze them. Australia is increasingly working part-time, full-time. Do you know what that means?
All I know is I'm unemployed.
The number of professionals working two jobs has surged.
Oh, okay. So you're telling me we don't work full-time, we work part-time,
full-time hours on two part-time jobs. Secondary jobs, historically the domain of retail and service workers, have jumped by 30% among professionals since 2010, with architects, accountants, computer designers and university researchers taking on the extra position.
That's too much. You shouldn't have to have two, three jobs. That's ridiculous. I can't even handle not having a job. I can't organise my daily schedule. Can you imagine if I had two jobs to get to?
They're not working a full-time job. They're working several part-time jobs.
Yeah, but that's confusing. I wouldn't know where I was coming. I'd be going, so you're saying one minute I'm like at a counter selling shoes, the next minute I'm flipping burgers over there. I wouldn't know where I was.
New figures from the Australian Bureau of Statistics released this week show more than 1.1 million employees now work in the professional, scientific and technical services sector, which is where I work, making it the fourth largest industry in the economy.
So I kind of read that as porn. Did you? The largest industry in the economics. And you said it's the same one you work in? Yeah. Hobbit porn, wasn't it?
But however, more than 70,000 of those workers are now working two jobs, which is a 30% jump compared to 22% in the sector. So there you go.
But are we working more hours or less hours?
We're working...
So we might have two jobs, but we might work less.
We're working more hours, but with two jobs, according to this research.
Is this good or bad? I'm not quite sure where we're meant to be going from this.
No, well, I don't know. You tell me.
I'm quite happy. If you're on your way to your third job now, more fool you. I mean, bye.
Have you ever had to work two jobs to make ends meet?
Sweetheart, of course I have, maybe.
Yeah. Of course I have, maybe.
Well, listen, I was a single parent.
Why are you going red?
I was a single parent.
Why
I had
are you
three
going
children.
Red?
That's three jobs. You don't understand. And then I had to go to work afterwards. I'm sure I had four jobs. And I was trying to build a house, raise three children, hold down a job.
There you go.
Yeah, listen here, princess, and your little and your platform Crocs over there. Get off your high Crocs and come on down.
The growth in secondary jobs has not just been confined to professionals. The economy experiences strongest secondary job surge since 2014. So the number of people with two jobs is now 891,000.
Yeah, good.
So it's up.
That's
over
lazy. There should be a good million of out there doing two jobs. I mean, they're not counting poor mothers and fathers who actually go home to their children. That is a job, and you should take it as a job.
I agree.
You should actually. I mean, not a job as in a burden, but you take it on and you know this is what I've got to do today, how I've got to get through.
Yeah.
That's a job.
I agree. Look, what I don't get is, like, they're saying people in the, IT computer area. I mean, when I worked in that area, it's not poor. I mean, you're flat out. I've always been flat out working extremely long hours. So I don't know how people could...
They're saying
that people in this industry now want more hours.
Because they're tapping away on a computer. I mean, I watch Andy do it all day and it's just creepy and wrong. I mean, you wouldn't do that for 8 hours?
No.
But I am looking for a job. If anyone needs somebody to come and do something, I...
What would you like to do?
Well, I want to be paid very well.
Yeah,
I will not wear a uniform.
Yeah, but what would you...
I do not make coffee for people. That's point blank.
I know. Oh, you never made me one coffee while we've been here.
So I don't do that. It's not my job.
Okay.
Yeah. That you employ people
so
to
So what
do.
Sort of job do you want? Let's find Tom a job.
Oh, I'm happy to do anything.
But
preferably porn.
Ed Sheeran can now legally install a set of double pedestrian gates and cast iron railings to prevent, I quote, opportunities for rough sleeping.
Oh, we're talking about Ed Sheeran. So I just heard music coming through my headphones and it was spinning me out. I'm looking around going, what song are we playing? Where are we? It's Ed Sheeran.
He's slammed claims that the railings are to prevent homeless people from sleeping in his doorways.
Sorry, I missed it. So he's put up a big fence.
He's put up a big fence.
Hopefully you can't see through it. Because he's a very unattractive man and I think he should stay behind a fence so I don't have to look at that.
But the planning permit says it's to prevent opportunities for rough sleeping rather than to keep burglars out. And so there's been a bit of controversy over, you know, why is he preventing the homeless from having a...
What, sleeping out the front?
Yeah.
Listen, if I probably paid, what, $12, $13 million for a house in London, I wouldn't want the homeless sleeping out the front, peeing on my front steps.
He said he's done lots of work in the past for crisis and shelter and would never build railings outside his house for that reason, he added. It was an attempt to keep the paparazzi from his doorstep.
Oh, so it's to stop the paparazzi. I mean, look... Ed Sheeran, people like him. I don't get it. That red and that red hair that's thin in at top, I mean, it's very unattractive.
I love his music, though. I really do. But while we're on keeping people out, also in the UK, a dad of six claims his children's lives have been made a living hell after their neighbour fitted an anti-child alarm. I've never heard of this. And pointed it directly at his house. So the single dad claims his children have been hospitalised and left housebound by the controversial high-pitched alarm, which can only be heard by under 25s.
Do you know that's true? Because my children used to like to do me, like pretend that you could hear a sound and they reckon only young ears can do it. There's something on a mobile and my kids, and I knew they're going to trick me, and they go, can you hear that? I go, of course I can hear it, but it turned out they really weren't playing anything just to prove that I was a liar. Yeah. Well, this so it's like that sound that like I couldn't hear. But
the dad alleges the alarm points directly at his door and during the summer months has been turned on at least three times a week. I didn't realise.
Did you keep his number? Because I'd like to ring him up. Where can I get this?
Well, the alarms, which are completely legal over there, I don't know if they are here, produce a high-pitched, discomforting noise that is only audible to young children.
Excellent.
Teenagers.
The only joyful is that all the little buggers are going back to school for the last 2 weeks off. They've been disturbing me and my dogs at home doing nothing all
day.
Have
they?
Yeah, well, children on bikes walking around. I think I've turned into Mrs. Meggle. I spent the last 2 weeks looking out the window. What the children are on my lawn. Have they touched my rocks in the garden? Oh, don't touch the rocks. I'm yelling out the window. I don't know when I became that old man.
You could get one of these alarms. I don't know if they're any good, though. If this is true, this is what he claims. He says the alarm makes them scream in pain. I even had to take my daughter to hospital because her ears didn't stop ringing. Wow, I have never heard of these things before.
No, but that, it's mean. It is mean.
It is very mean.
But do I want one?
Maybe you should get in touch with him.
Yeah, I'm calling up.
Back in 2001, the Scottish Natural Heritage Group, which is funded by the Scottish Government, created a series of guidelines in the event that Nessie is discovered, according to the BBC.
Hey, hasn't Trump been over there in Scotland? Wasn't he there the other day?
He was, yeah, he's been in the UK.
I tell you what, if you put him in the thing, he'd look like Loch Ness Monster, wouldn't he?
The plans resurfaced in part because an international team of scientists has been searching for environmental DNA to confirm what species are in the lake.
Environmental DNA. That's a nice way of asking.
And animal lovers will be happy to know that Nessie's welfare is of importance because the plan stipulates that if the creature is captured, a DNA sample should be taken before releasing him. They're assuming it's a him back into the lake. But I like this. The Scottish Natural Heritage spokesman Nick said that if Nessie was to be discovered today, the contingency plan would have to be updated to consult local communities and businesses. Do you think that if the Loch Ness Monster turns up, the local communities and businesses are going to stand around in front of this roaring monster going, we need to be consulted? They're going to be running a mile.
No, you're right. They'd be scared, won't they? But people are going to want to put it in a cage and they're going to want to put it in so people could come and sell tickets. That's really mean. Yeah. But I'm still getting over here about how they found this DNA sample. Were they looking for tissues and a bit of Vaseline at the side of the lake? Yeah. Oh, we found some DNA.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.